This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Hope y'all are having a pleasant Thursday. May 22nd. What a game. Legendary. And certainly in this new chapter of Knicks Pacers. Boy, what a great story last night was. You know, what we were wrong on, what we doubted, was that we would have Reggie Miller Knicks 1994 level drama and tension, right? And those guys met, those Knicks and Pacers teams met for years. Or what's, like, I think I heard Harrington say 6 times in 8 years. A lot of memories. But certainly, Reggie Miller, the choke sign was one of them. And we got choke sign last night. Right at Reggie Miller. What, 30-something years later? That is so amazing in terms of how the two things touched. Because Reggie Miller was in the building, obviously calling the game. And Tyrese Halliburton's shot goes in, and there'll certainly be a lot of talk today about what he did as the Pacers somehow win this game. Down, John, 9 in the final minute. Now, they've been doing the be down 7 and come back to beat you. Did that twice this postseason. They topped that last night. We're going to talk a lot about Halliburton. But John's man, Aaron Nesmith, rising star. Cold-blooded killer. 6, fourth quarter, 3 points. I can't wait to talk about this game with John. We'll see if, I can't remember. Did he place a bet on it? We'll find out and how that went. That and much more today. Tiger basketball lost one. I don't know if we'll pour anything out, but we will talk about it. He actually came up yesterday in sort of a what's going to happen with him conversation.
Yep.
Well, now we know.
Now we know.
And then we've got, of course, I didn't mean to skip game two of Wolves and Thunder. However, John, I'm concerned that this will be the snoozer of the two series.
It looks that way. I mean, I don't know. I mean, anything, honestly, other than this Knicks-Pacers series is going to be a snoozer after that game last night. That was unbelievable. That was a game where, like, I had to wind down after the game was over, bro. Like, I was so electrified. By that ending.
Can you answer whether or not you had anything going on?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the question. You know, I like to keep my bets private. But
stop.
Hell yeah, we had the okay. Pacers last night. Money line, fool. I said, I'm full sending fade, Brad.
I figured when I saw the Grinch text animation as I was going off to bed that you had.
I did.
That you had won.
That can you? I mean, imagine my emotions when that ball hung in the air with Pacers money line, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought it was a three. I mean, did you think it was a three in real time?
Tyrese Halliburton thought it was a three, thus the choke sign.
Right.
That's the other part of that story.
Right.
He thought he had won the game.
Right. But, you know, honestly.
Said he would have done it if he'd known it was a two.
Exactly. No, there's no way you would have done it.
Because you don't know you're going to win the game.
It's not over.
In overtime.
You think that's a walk-off.
Exactly.
But I have records of me telling the college basketball group chat, because there are a couple of Knicks fans in there. I said, you guys are not winning this game. I know it's going to overtime. Mm. You're not winning the game. This never happens for the team that blows the lead.
Well, we know that well.
That's exactly what I said. I said, this is when Memphis blew the 9-point lead in 2 minutes and went to overtime.
You can feel it if you're on that side of it. You know what's coming.
And remember, we thought they were going to do it against UConn, right, in the Maui. Mm. It felt that Memphis that did actually weirdly end up holding on.
It was fair. Good call.
But we did not think they would, obviously, when it did go into overtime.
I guess, how much had UConn been down?
They were down quite.
Yeah, I remember they made that push. I can't remember if it was. I was all in on, oh, man, this is definitely over.
Hold on, I'll tell you.
But the Tigers did hold them off, though, didn't they?
So let's just go back to, like, let's say whatever they were up 2 minutes, right?
Yeah.
2 minutes left.
I don't want to get you too far off here.
They were up 10 with 2:55.
Yeah.
So.
Reminiscent.
Yeah.
Good call.
Yeah.
Tigers held them off in that case.
And then Memphis did somehow win in the in overtime.
Yeah, usually goes the other way.
That's exactly right. So
feels like.
It was an absolutely epic game last night. We'll talk about it here on a Thursday. Drew Hill's going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies offseason. MVP was named yesterday, which means, I mean, we should be working our way down the list of superlatives, right? I mean, Shai Gil just got his whole team Rolexes.
Congrats to him.
I thought his speech was really sweet.
Interesting choice of words to describe it. Sweet.
I thought it was a sweet thing. Like,
I mean, yeah. Aren't they all?
It was like when Durant thanked his mom, yeah. You know, sweet.
Yeah, most of them are.
I didn't really know Shai was necessarily an emotional being like that. I didn't think he was like a crier. I mean, I know he flopped, but that's different than, you know, physically crying.
Yeah.
You know,
I think we like to see the emotion.
I loved it.
We've come to expect it in these MVP speeches.
You know, I kind of feel like, you know, wives kind of get the shaft, right? In the NBA, right? It's not exactly known for being the most, like, you know, wife friendly environment. We got to just call it like it is, you know.
Yeah.
And in that situation, you know, she got some flowers, which, you know, again, love to see that. And what do you say? You showed me what love meant.
Bro, I wasn't analyzing it like that, but maybe you can.
We're gonna play the entirety of the speech a little bit later in the show.
We can break it down. Again, this was so expected. I didn't even.
Right.
I didn't even listen to all of the speech. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I understand.
I'm sorry. This is not like an NFL Hall of Fame speech that I tried to stay for.
Not a wife-friendly league. You didn't want to pay attention to what he had to say about his wife.
It is another non-American-born MVP, isn't it?
We haven't had one.
They running things
in a while, right?
Tell me the world hadn't caught up and passed you, maybe in some. Some area, at least individually.
They can't touch us on the court, though.
Who's the next American MVP?
Oh, it's the guy going number one overall in 2025.
Let's move on.
Well, why not? Why not?
That's not the place to stop right now. And you're setting up the show. Remember that.
Yes.
You just did.
We're
Drew Hill.
We're moving on to the future.
What, we have to get back. We can't get you so
all
sidetracked.
Right. All
my
right,
goodness,
fine.
Guys.
All right, well, you asked me a question. I answered it.
We'll come back to that.
Drew Hill will join us at 11:25. And we'll talk to him about the Grizzlies offseason and more. Then at 1:25, Andy Schiffman is going to join us. He is Zach Edey's agent. He is Brendan Clark's agent, Priority Sports. And so we will catch up with him, you know, obviously first team, you know, with Zach Edey, first team all rookie.
Indeed.
Brendan Clark
was too.
That's right. So we'll get into sort of what that means for Zach, sort of his summer development, his view of the Grizzlies. You know,
absolutely.
What he thinks about the direction and where this could go.
What he thinks of what should be done with the three.
Yeah,
and whether or not you adjust the things around it or
adjust it.
I think hopefully he's open to answering all those questions.
I did hear some things this morning, actually, as a matter of fact, to that extent about what they want to do. They're just rumors. But,
well, it's really just, as far as you and I are concerned, it's about one of those three. Maybe we should rephrase that, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't think they're doing anything with Ja and with Jaren, for sure. Now, maybe your information is different.
The only thing that I feel very confident about is Ja Morant.
Okay.
Anything else would not surprise me. Mm-hmm. I mean, but again, we'll still have to see on Jaren's, you know, all NBA or not, or but the rumors are interesting. I don't want to like bring it to the, because it's not like I've got it on solid ground or anything. But yeah, it's interesting some of the things that are maybe going around right now. But anyway, we'll talk to Andy Shiffman about you know, the Grizzlies, and I believe he also represents T.J. McConnell, who didn't really have a moment last night, but obviously he's on this Pacers team and has had many moments in the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, he's putting some pressure on him there with his relentlessness. But yeah, I mean, it wasn't a huge game for him.
No, but he has had some games.
He had some moments.
So we'll get into all that with Andy at 1:25. So that is the show today. But I mean, there have been a lot of NBA games that we've seen that have been great. So I don't want to go crazy with like, this is the best one ever. But, you know, recent history, I would say, certainly for me, I don't know if there's been a better one in terms of a team that was down and looked as dead as they did. What had to happen for the Pacers to get back in this game? It was like 2K. It was like watching 2K, and the guy just, you know, Aaron Nesmith had the flame emoji next to his name, bro. Mm-hmm. I mean,
he went nuclear.
That was nuts.
He tied the NBA record for fourth quarter threes.
How many did he have?
Aaron Nesmith, six, bro.
Six fourth quarter threes. And they're in a row, right? They're all consecutive.
Dude, he was double clutching on someone. That man was on fire.
That was
like, he's not being talked about enough. Just to say, to frame it this way, the question today, at least on First Take, was, has Tyrese Haliburton become a superstar? Which is, you know, an obvious question to ask today.
Yep.
But it's sort of overlooking.
Yep.
I texted you this emergence, these playoffs of Aaron Nesmith. He was huge for them against Cleveland.
Yes, he
was. The man was the one going to the basket on Donovan Mitchell and dunking on him to get the dunk there, and then gets the turnover. Huge in that series. But now we're seeing these huge offensive skill games from him.
Absolutely.
Six fourth quarter three. That's like Klay Thompson.
Yep.
Like, what are we talking about here? So just, you know, what he did in that fourth quarter alone, but he finishes with 30. I mean, it wasn't just in that fourth quarter. You know, it should be just as talked about as the shot itself from Haliburton, how well Haliburton played, how well the Pacers played overall.
I agree.
How well Rick Carlisle coached, saving the challenge that he came up in the end needing. I mean, the whole effort all the way around, but Aaron Nesmith and what he's doing in these playoffs should not be overlooked. 30 points in 39 minutes, and was unbelievable in that fourth quarter. 8 of 9 from three on the game.
Yeah, because, dude, there's no
Aaron Nesmith, man.
There's no Haliburton moment if not for the six threes. I mean, like, they're dead. The game is over.
1,000%.
They were down, what, 14, 16?
14.
Like, yeah.
They had basically a 0.2% chance to win.
Yeah. I mean, so.
No, so, when I mean, you say you don't know if it's one of the greatest. At least since 98, it's the first time anybody's ever come back from 9 down in the last minute.
Yeah.
We talked about it. The Pacers had come back from 7 down in the last minute. Or, you know, last minute of fourth quarter overtime twice already this year. It's only happened 3 times since 98. 7. This was 9. We've never seen it.
Yep.
They've topped what they did against Milwaukee and Cleveland. Like, these folks never stop believing.
Yeah.
And in the end, they're out executing you.
Yep.
Haliburton all season long has been tremendous in these chances to either go ahead, tie in the closing clutch time. He's like 11 of 12 this season. He does it again last night, hitting the big one. Look, just like the Cleveland game. Where he backs it out. That's why he thought it was 3.
Yep.
I mean, his toe is just touching the line. But everything that had to happen that the Pacers had to do right.
Exactly.
You do have to say, yes, the Knicks collapsed.
Uh-huh. OG missed the free throw.
Brunson at the end, when he should have been dribbling it out, decides to pass it. Why? And Mitch, I think it was Mitchell Robinson, chose to go up with it. What's Brunson thinking there? He's Mr. Clutch. Now, it's hard to be too tough on him. He's 40-plus in that game. But if you look at it, man, look at what they did. Remember what we said yesterday? We mentioned it yesterday, that you've got to work him defensively, too.
Yep.
You have to wear him down for the series. Well, what they did yesterday and putting him in all those actions, they end up getting him in foul trouble. And, yes, while he was out, the Knicks built their lead. But when he came back, again, he made a couple of decisions, weren't quite, you know, you questioned, should have dribbled the ball out. That's a no-brainer for a point guard of his ilk. And then I think he had, what, 7 turnovers? I mean, he was up there. And so it threw them off. And when he came back, he had to be careful not to get the sixth foul. So anything they caught him in, But again, that's the planning that's involved with that.
Yeah. Credit to Carlisle.
They abused him in those actions too on the defensive end for the Knicks.
Yeah.
It all played into it.
Yep.
By the end of the game.
No, it did. I mean, and I'm gonna call out another little wrinkle that he had. Obi Toppin. Having Obi Toppin in the game at the end.
Well, I did that. The Knicks just gave up one there.
He got that dunk. The putback. There was two. There was the putback dunk that gave him a 1-point lead. And then there was the dunk that should have been an and one with 15 seconds left when they were up one. But like the idea that you would have a seventh man in there, right, in overtime in the final minute of the game is kind of nutty. And he knew that Obi was his athleticism and length was going to be better for them than Miles Turner, in that moment.
Just brilliance from Carlisle.
I mean, he really is showing like
should be talking about that too.
Heart of a champion, yep. Heart of a champion, as Brad Carson would say. Now, Brad was an atheist last night.
Oh, he was looking really right and red hot for a long time. Let's be real.
I texted Jason. I said, Brad and these Knicks, it's a marriage that's unstoppable, right? Star-crossed lovers, you and Tom Thibodeau.
And Karl Anthony Towns.
And you love Kat's zestiness, and you can't get enough of it.
Is it zesty or is it sassiness?
You pick.
I'm nothing. Sassy.
Oh, my God.
He is sassy.
Not me missing a three.
I'm just saying. Zesty and sassy.
It's giving nervous.
But the double-double comes right behind it, though, doesn't it?
He going to get you a double-double.
I'm just going to be careful with it. Again, we cannot act like that man is not better than Jared.
No. He just has
He's definitely zesty and sassy.
His dialect.
It was 99.8% with the Knicks up 14 with 3:44 left.
Yeah.
And I think that actually got under 3 minutes. But, yes, that was 0.2% chance to win for Indiana. That was an historic comeback.
Oh, and 1,414.
There you go. It never happened since 98. Since that started being tracked or whatever.
Yeah. So this was really insane to watch unfold. Obviously I was watching the whole game. I did not give up. I don't know why I didn't give up because I was like I was texting.
Because you had money on it.
I was like, but I have money on it, I'm like, I this is dead. I can like move on my day. I'm like, they're down 14 with 2 minutes left. They're not about to win this game. And I kept watching. I'm like, okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's a lot of them on the Neesmith three.
Yeah, like how many threes is this guy gonna make in a row?
On fire.
But it really is the fiber of that Pacers team. I think that's like there's no time and score situation, man, where they feel like they're dead. They're gonna keep fighting. You're gonna have to literally run them over, back them up over again, come back to make sure. It's like Michael Myers. You just cannot kill this team. I don't know where it goes from here. Obviously, I do expect the Knicks to respond, but man, it does feel like the Pacers are finals bound. It feels like it's destiny.
Well, it's 78% for game one winner, I believe, at the conference finals that go on to win the series, close to 80%. So I get why you feel that way. It's Indiana was 10 of 12. Field goals with Brunson as the primary defender.
Wow.
Halliburton was 4 of 5. So, like we said, they were attacking him defensively, and you're hoping to wear him down for the series. I think you did even in that game. Mm-hmm. I thought J.B. Bickerstaff made a great point about this game. Look at the pace. Look at the score. That's definitely a Pacers-like game, right? We know the Knicks can be a great offense. They can score that many, but they essentially played the Pacers' pace. And in the end, right, they were the ones looking exhausted, and you had allowed Indiana to come back and win that game. And so that the question is, can they do that? Because everybody said coming into this series, just like we talked about kind of with Minnesota and OKC, that the way to win this series for the Knicks was to slow Indiana down. Pacers love to speed you up, just like OKC. And in kind of playing their game, showing, hey, we can outscore – It caught up to them in the end, and you wonder, especially with the way they worked Brunson defensively, if it'll catch up with them in this series. Because, again, they're in this for the long haul, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
This looks like 6 or 7. Yes, I expect, like you, the Knicks to respond. They can't go down 0-2.
Yeah, because they're actually minus 6 for game 2. So the number's gone from 4.5 to 6.
It's really over if they lose this next one. They will respond, but how they do will be interesting because now you're going to say, no, we got to slow you down. In the end, you turn the ball over too much. Brunson has 7 of them. They look tired. They had hands on shorts at the end of that game in a game that obviously the pace favors the Pacers. Well, they should have won it.
Yep.
Should be up 1-0.
Yep.
And you've already given up home court here. So they better respond or else it is over. But I'm still thinking 6 or 7 here, because for most of that game, they were the better team.
Yeah, that's true. But you just wonder about the psychological, like
100%.
Does it linger? Does it, you know, that's the piece of it. Now, obviously, like you said, like you've stolen home court now, so you're in a good situation going back to Indiana. You know, you could be up 3-1. I mean, very possible. But yeah, it's just weird because I was like thinking about, all right, you know, midway through that fourth quarter, I'm like, how do the Knicks match up with OKC? You know, I'm already thinking ahead, like, to that finals matchup, and I'm like, oh, you know, I could see it. I could see, you know, them pushing OKC because they can slow it. But then it's like, damn, now they're down 1-0 to the Pacers. So it's
I think I'm now rooting for the Pacers. I've been rooting against it just for not the perceived boring finals of having the Pacers involved. That said, though, let me throw this at you. Are they not better matched, better suited to run with OKC and have a back-and-forth finals?
Yeah.
Like, I've had to start to let this thing against that. I got it personal stuff against the Pacers go.
Yeah, yeah.
Rick Carlisle, clearly Hall of Famer. Forget champion. He's likely Hall of Fame coach.
Yep.
What they're doing at the end of games is historic.
Yep.
Coming back from 7, they topped twice. They topped that last night coming back from 9 down with less than a minute left. I mean, it's unbelievable. And frankly, I mean, how can you hate on Tyrese Halliburton at this point?
No, he's backing it up. He's rising.
Now, if they go lose that game last night in overtime, oh boy, he's got egg on his face for doing the choke and a loss. Now, you know, that didn't happen.
But he made some plays in overtime.
Dude, he was 31 points, I think it was. Yeah. I mean, him and Neesmith, the reason they won the game, 12 of 23 overall for Halliburton. Like we said, he baked Brunson when Brunson was on him. Everyone did.
Nemhard had a big three as well. They were down court overtime.
Hit that dude, he is slick, a big one for them too. He's not rising as fast as it feels like Neesmith is after these.
No, he's not.
My gosh.
But
he is critical for them.
They both guard, right?
Good call.
Nemhard and Neesmith both guard.
And then my man McConnell had 10. What you downplaying what he did off the bench for?
No, you're right. He led the bench.
For a little while there, he was the one giving them the energy when they were down in terms of going hard at the basket. He got one blocked, but he got right back, got the assist on a fast break.
I mean, I think the Pacers
are important for them too.
I think they're super easy to root for.
And here's the other thing about a matchup with OKC. They're deeper.
They
can sort of go.
Yeah.
In terms of numbers, a little bit closer to what OKC can do. It's not OKC, but it's closer than what the Knicks can do.
Yeah.
So that might slick be the better series, although for ratings and all that,
it's a
whole lesson, yeah.
But they got big bodies.
Go of this personal, you know, I don't want boring.
Right.
Pacers, it might be actually be fun.
Oh, yes.
With them in OKC. Yeah, a fun watch, a fun series.
Because they force the pace. So, absolutely. Like, you know, it at least will be, you know, a high-scoring affair. So
and usually take care of the ball in doing so.
That's the other thing, right?
Last night they only had 7 turnovers.
I think they're third in the NBA in turnovers.
Yeah, I had it yesterday. I think it's third.
Yeah, despite their pace, which I would assume is tops in the league.
Whereas Minnesota in that was down there with the bottom. You know, that's what stood out about the final four teams here.
No, I mean, only 7 turnovers last night, like you said. I mean, that gives me hope that they could really go tit for tat with OKC.
They play their pace. They get you to play it, and they keep it cleaner than you.
And what they would have over OKC,
Carlisle,
is like house money, dude. They get to the damn NBA Finals.
We should have jumped on him if I was betting before the whole thing, man. Just because of Rick Carlisle alone.
They were still 10-1 when this round started.
I know. So that's what I'm saying. Missed that boat though. I'm sure. Yeah. What are the Knicks to win the series now?
Let's see.
How much has that changed after game one?
My guess is it will have flipped. So like my guess is off the top of my head, it'd be like Pacers minus 160. But let's see.
They didn't flip in those semifinals. After game one upsets.
Yeah, so it's Pacers minus 170,
wow.
Knicks plus 1.
So it did?
Yeah, so
it flipped.
Yeah. So.
They had to believe after one game.
Yeah. And now the Pacers have the second best odds. They went from last to second.
Like I said.
5-1
See, I still
now.
Got the nose. I'm not gonna pull the trigger. Just not a betting man. But I should have put you on that. I should have made you believe. I don't think I believe.
Yeah,
but how can you? I mean, what they're doing in the final minute of these games, man. I'm done not believing.
That's right.
I believe anything can happen when the Pacers are on the floor.
That's right. That is right.
They've really shown us that 3 times this postseason.
Remarkably.
Milwaukee, Cleveland, and now against the Knicks.
In like 99.9% situations.
Yes.
They come back and win. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Got some magic going on.
They do, dude. They absolutely do. That one was for they said that was for Jim Irsay last night.
Yeah.
Because he the Colts owner there at Indianapolis passed last night.
That's a sad deal. 65.
Yeah, very young. Very young. So obviously
sounds like his
there.
Daughter takes control.
Yeah.
Or has in the past.
Right.
My guess is she will now. But man, thoughts of their prayers of their family.
That was
65.
Quite the NBA basketball game last night. We'll talk to Drew about that, get his thoughts on these playoffs, the Grizzlies, and more. Stick around. Jason and John, Ninety Turn FM. Yes.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Oh, it's going to be a long offseason. It's already getting spicy in here on Bears Raiders. That's not even till week four. All right, and it's May. So, It's a lot of talk.
This next man knows about that, too.
It's a lot of talk for two losing franchises, I tell you that right now.
Now, speak for yourself.
One of these gentlemen is delusional about his franchise next season, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Drew Hill covers the Memphis Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. Nice enough to join us every Thursday. He joins us. Now, what's going on, brother?
What's up, Jason? Is he talking crazy? I didn't hear any of the opening segment. What's he saying about the Bears?
No, it was off air as we were coming on, and I shouldn't have let it spill over. But yeah, you know, we got them week four, and I was trying to tell him what a brilliant 10 minutes that was from our head coach Ben Johnson, an offensive genius. And of course, John was trying, you know, pot shots started. Oh, it doesn't mean anything. And then, you know, said week four, we're going to bury you guys. That he doesn't care that Dennis Allen is our defensive coordinator. That kind of stuff.
I can't believe Jason even brought it up.
I'm not worried about the Raiders, you know.
Me
I'm
either.
Really not worried about them. I think that, I don't know, the schedule's really tough.
Oh, it is.
The schedule's definitely really
tough.
I think
Raiders are our easiest game, right, Drew? That's all that it needs. They're our easiest game, are they not, or right there at the bottom?
Maybe, or maybe the Browns. I don't know.
They're trash is what it is. You're not a blip on Drew's radar.
Yeah,
understand that, John.
The Browns. The Browns are y'all's. Is this a new-look team? Ashton Gentry, Geno Smith.
Oh, my God.
Pete Carroll, we got juice now.
Drew, you should come with us week four, and then we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. I mean, maybe if I could pull it off, okay. I'll be out there. I'll be part of giving John a hard time.
Oh, I'm all about it. It'd be beautiful.
I'm all about it. All right. We got the MVP announcement yesterday. I mean, it should be any day now on these All-NBA team announcements, right?
It's going to be Friday.
Right.
So, league put that out. So, tomorrow. Yep.
Got
it. We'll get all defensive teams today. I actually wrote a little bit in the newsletter today. So Friday is kind of like that's the kickoff, the tip-off of the Grizzlies offseason. Like, they've had to wait for this announcement. Obviously, it's going to impact Jaren's stuff, which is going to impact a lot of the offseason. I know we've talked about that in past weeks, and we'll continue to talk about it, I'm sure. But, yeah, so offseason for the Grizzlies really can at least start to take some shape on Friday. Obviously, it'll be a little bit before the finals wraps up and we get to draft and all that. But yeah, everything can sort of get in motion beginning tomorrow.
And just how instructive will that be when the announcement? I mean, is it something that the Grizzlies are, like, really waiting beck and call for, this announcement?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is pretty impactful just because – like I've said on the show, like, whether you're a room team and you have to go begin the new league year under the cap, which is what you'd have to do if he doesn't make the team and you want to extend him. Like, this is all also dependent on Jaren actually signing an extension. And Jaren has showed none of his cards on that at all. Like, it's totally possible that he just says, yeah, you know what? I'm going to go into free agency and I'm going to see, you know, which teams come with the maximum offer that they're able to give him. Now, here's the thing, though. Like, no matter if the Grizzlies do this renegotiate and extend, or if he plays this out and becomes a free agent at the end of the year, the Grizzlies are going to be able to offer more money,
right?
Like, even
both
if
ways.
They...
Yes.
Right. So, like, the max amount, like, if they do the... if he doesn't make All-NBA and they do the renegotiate and extend, the max amount that the Grizzlies can offer on that sort of deal is still significantly more money than the max amount that another team could offer him in free agency. So, you know, the Grizzlies probably feel pretty confident that if they put it on the table, they can get something done. I would imagine. I don't know. I don't have any insight on that, but I would imagine that would be the case just because the money difference is pretty big there. So, yeah, we'll see what happens, and it's going to impact what sort of exceptions they're able to get, whether it's a $14 million non-taxpayer exception if he does make All-NBA, or if it's the room exception, which is around $9 million if he doesn't make All-NBA. But, you know, this sort of sets the table for the offseason for the Grizzlies, and it'll be good to have at least something set in motion beginning tomorrow.
Yep. So we'll know tomorrow on All-NBA, and we'll have a lot to discuss with you in terms of, okay, what do we do now? Next time we talk to you next Thursday. In terms of last night, what do you make of these Pacers, man?
Man, it's pretty fun. Like, the Pacers are just a fun team. That's such a fun series. I mean, I don't want to take away from the West because I think it has the potential to be a good series depending on what version of Minnesota shows up the rest of the way. Mm-hmm. But the Pacers are just – the Pacers and Knicks, it's such a clash. It's got history to it. Which came out last night when Halliburton did the choke sign. I mean, and just the electricity of the game, and, like, you know, those guys on the TNT pregame show, they like to clown around a lot, and, like, you know, they make fun of people everywhere they go, and, like, that's part of the show. But, like, I took note of them saying, like, man, I have goosebumps with the atmosphere in here. Like, they were saying that on the show, and, like, I just don't feel like you get that all that often from those guys. And even they were kind of, like, acknowledging what a big deal it was for the conference finals to be back in MSG. And it's just a really, really, really fun series. And from a Grizzlies perspective, this is also something I kind of wrote about this morning. It's just interesting to look at the two teams, because I think if you were to try to say which team is closest to the Grizzlies in terms of the way it's set up, you'd probably say Indiana, because the Grizzlies ended up being more of an offensive team. And if you look at the roster makeup, like
similar pace,
star point. Yeah. Similar pace, star point guard, you know, sleight of frame, power forward star to go with it. Sharpshooter and Neesmith and Bane. Like, there's a lot of comparisons, I think, that work between Indiana and Memphis. Indiana obviously plays in the East, so it's a little bit easier. But like, and then New York is interesting, because I think New York is almost set up the way the, not from like a coaching standpoint, but like the style of their roster is almost what I think the Grizzlies maybe thought they were going to be, right? That's why they look at the two guys that they have. Look at Bridges and Ananobi, like two guys that the Grizzlies were rumored to have interest in. Like, they thought that they were going to be that disruptive team, right, and that they were going to have Vince Williams and Marcus Smart, who's who they ended up with. And we all know that none of that worked out for several different reasons. And so it's almost like maybe this is the Knicks are closer to what the Grizzlies imagined they would be, and then they turned out to be closer to the Pacers. And it's almost like they pivoted, right? Now they have this offensive head coach, and, you know, maybe they're not trying to be like they were a couple years ago. It's, and I think we're going to get some clarity in terms of how they stylistically want to play moving forward based on what they do this offseason. But, I think that part of it, if you're trying to look at the Eastern Conference Finals from a Grizzlies perspective, is a little interesting.
Yeah, I think, you know, 3 years ago, this was exactly who the Grizzlies were trending on, you know, trending toward being. I mean, the parallels are pretty remarkable, because, like, I don't think there's any, like, rise above star on this Pacers team. But you have, you know, a lead guard who, you know, is knocking on that door. You know, Miles Turner and Pascal Siakam, like, those guys feel very comparable to Jaren. You know, and then your Neesmith and your Nembhard, like, Bane fits that role. Like, they're deep. For Grizz had Brandon Clark and Aldama. Like, the parallel, you know, that's 3 years ago. I just said this is exactly – the Grizz could have been, you know, the trendsetter. But, you know, there's a couple things that the Pacers enjoy that the Grizzlies have not, which is, one, their coach is Rick Carlisle, which I think is a big distinction. And then they're just healthy. That's the other underrated piece of it. Like, they just feel like they've been healthy throughout the year, and the Grizzlies have never enjoyed that really for a full year.
Yeah, for sure. They've done a good job of adding pieces that complement each other really well. And I'm not saying the Grizzlies have done a bad job of that. Like, but I just think that that hasn't really played out the way some of us might've thought. Mm-hmm. Like, Gigi didn't have a great season based on what the expectations were. Vince didn't have a great season based on the expectations. Both of those guys, part of the reason why they didn't have great seasons, big reason why, injuries, right? Mm-hmm. That's health. That goes back to the health there. You know, the Marcus Smart thing just didn't work out. I think you're right. I think that when you look at what Indiana has done, and like Neesmith, like, they've done a good – what the Pacers have done that it feels like the Grizzlies haven't done too is just hit on some of these additions that they didn't draft, right? Like, they've had some success, but like, they brought in Halliburton from Sacramento, you know?
Their trades have been unbelievable.
Trades have been good, and the Grizzlies' trades have not been good.
They got Obi Toppin for really two second rounders, right? I mean, and Obi Toppin had two of the biggest plays of the game last night. They got Aaron Neesmith as a throw-in for Brogdon. You know, when they traded, you know, Halliburton, you know, getting him from the Kings. That's the difference. That's the biggest difference. That's like they have just crushed it on all their deals, and the Grizzlies, I don't think, have gotten a single one of those right. And so, like, their guys are, you know, I don't remember how they got TJ McConnell. Was that a trade or was that a free agent deal? I don't remember. But it just feels like, you know, whereas it was a free agent deal. So they went older. They have older players. The Grizzlies try to do it through the draft. And so, you know, that's why you're going to have the, you know, the jagged kind of results that the Grizzlies have experienced, because they went so damn young.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, it's not received well when they say they unintentionally got younger, and that's certainly understandable. But it is also true, Jalen Wells outplayed Marcus Smart, like 100%. So,
yep.
They have to find a way to hit on some of these deals the way that some of these other teams have. But again, like, would the Pacers be in the conference finals if they were playing in the West? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, you know. And I'm conflicted, too, just aside from the Grizzlies. I'm so conflicted watching the series because, one, I think Indiana is fun, and I think Indiana would give OKC a better series because I think that the ball handling and sort of the offensive firepower is – they'll be a little bit better equipped to,
yep,
to handle OKC and their pressure. But at the same time, like – I kind of am having fun watching the Knicks, and like I think the atmosphere of Madison Square Garden for a finals and just the way that their fans would react and the internet content we would get out of it would be so incredible. So I don't really – like I find myself watching that game last night thinking I was going to end up cheering for the Knicks, but by the end of the game I was cheering for the Pacers. And so, yeah, I mean, I'm very conflicted. It's such a fun series, though. I mean, it's one of the best playoff series I can remember us having in a while, just because of the storylines behind it and just sort of the way that this is set up. So, I don't know, but I'm looking forward to that. I don't know if the West is going to be very good. I think OKC might run away with it, but I think the East, we're going to get a great series.
Exactly where I was going, because something you mentioned, Indiana, John and I discussed it. I think. You know, I've had to let go of sort of my personal want to see New York, all those storylines you just laid out, and sort of respect this Indiana team in a new way and look at it as, like you just said, they're probably a better matchup for OKC, and particularly in that ball handling department. They can play a faster pace. They're one of the fastest paced teams in the league and take care of the ball. It's one of the things they do. I think they're third in these playoffs in terms of turnover percentage, whereas Minnesota was 19th. In turnover percentage in the regular season, and they're 12th of the, I still think of the 16 teams that were in the playoffs, the ones behind them are already out. So that's my question for you. I don't see that one going past 5 or 6 just because I don't think Minnesota's capable of cleaning it up in the way that you have to against OKC.
No, I don't think so either. And it's OKC is so frustrating to watch at times. You know, because Shea got a ton of touch fouls in that first game.
Yep.
It was very frustrating to watch, obviously. And then defensively, they're just in your grill for a full 48 minutes, and, like, they force the officials to call the fouls. And so it's, like, the contrast of those two things is 100%. Just maddening to watch.
Yep.
And I think Minnesota doesn't necessarily – I don't know. I think a team that you know is going to foul less, that almost has less rim protection, like Indiana, may actually even be better suited. I know that sounds absolutely insane. I'm talking defensively. But, like, I just feel like the pressure against OKC doesn't help because Shea gets so many calls, right? Like,
right.
And it's some of it is misguided in terms of the free throw merchant stuff. Like, yeah, he shoots a ton of free throws, but he actually, like, this is a point I made start of the playoffs, like, Ja was drawing a shooting foul on a higher percentage of his shots than Shea was over the course of the full regular season. So, like, Shea just has the ball so much and drives it so much that he goes to the line so much that it's infuriating to watch. It's not even Shea's whistle that's frustrating. It's, like I said, the contrast between how physical they're allowed to play defensively,
right,
versus the whistle that they get offensively, that's what's so frustrating to watch. And Minnesota's too physical, too. Like, Minnesota is almost like, you know, if they're going to get those calls, I just don't see a scenario in which Minnesota's going to be, you know, able to win the series because they've got some of those players. Like, they have rim protection down low, but Jalen Williams and Shea, like, they just make all those mid-range shots. We saw them do it against the Grizzlies. They don't even have to go all the way to the basket. And that's kind of where Minnesota is predicated. Like, that's what they want other teams to do. They want to try to get players to drive right at Rudy Gobert.
Yep.
You know, they want to try to put Jaden McDaniels, on the other team's best player and force him to the basket or towards the baseline. And, you know, it's just – I just don't see that working out. I don't think Minnesota matches up well at all with Oklahoma City.
All right, we were talking about this before we brought you on. Was six or seven straight MVPs have been non-American. You know, Jokic, and even though I guess we were not counting Embiid, he did play for us at America on the American team, but we are not counting
he's
him.
American born.
You know, so now you got SGA, Giannis. Who's the next American MVP?
That's a great question.
Like, who would be the favorite? Who would you install?
I'm just trying to think of who's even going to get votes this year. Maybe Tatum, but he just tore his Achilles.
Right.
So, like,
right. Seems like that's unlikely.
That's probably where you would go next.
Well, not now. That's what I said. Cooper Flagg. That's what I said. I mean, because he's going to be number one overall pick.
Yeah. I mean, if you think about the players that are in the mix every single year, none of them are really American besides Tatum.
Right.
Tatum, if you look at the straw polls and all that, like, he's usually not within that top three, but he's on the fringe of like four or five, right? If the Celtics had some unbelievable season, he had his career season, like, maybe he'd have a chance to win it.
I mean, Ant-Man, right? Easy. I mean, he'd be very high in that discussion.
That's a good answer. Yeah, I could see that.
It's a big drop off though. Like, it really is, because Tatum's out. Then I'd probably have Ant-Man number two or number one right now with Tatum out of the discussion because of the Achilles. And then I'd probably have Cooper Flagg number two, honestly. Like, I guess, you know, some people might say Donovan Mitchell, but I'm not buying it.
He was fifth. He was behind Tatum, so you have to include him just because where he is.
Yeah, that's probably.
Maybe Donovan. But, yeah, like, the problem is, too, like, I say it as a problem, but I guess it's not really a problem. It's just part of the equation here. Is the game has gone to such an analytical direction that statistically, like what Shea and Jokic do, if you go to the advanced analytics, it's so impressive. It's just so far ahead of some of these other guys, like Ja and Anthony Edwards. And like, I don't know, like right now the media votes on this, and truthfully, like the media, a lot of the people that the way that they're going to vote is not going to be just off of watching hoops and entertainment and all that. Like, a lot of it is going to be nerdy stuff, man. Like, it's just going to be nerdy stuff. People are going to be diving into those advanced numbers and all that to try to separate players. And I think that's what you've seen, right, with these recent MVPs of Giannis, and like they're analytically the most dominant players. That's not how I voted when I would vote. I did not vote that way. I included some of it, but I separated some of that from, you know, believing that the MVP of the league is also someone that's going to bring excitement and attention to the league and push the league forward. Like, it's most valuable player value to the team, but also value to the league overall. And I do think that, like, if I were to vote, I would consider the electricity of Ja or of Anthony Edwards and players like that, maybe more so than other voters would. But the truth is, like, a lot of these people, they're going into the nerdy stuff. They're going deep into the numbers. They're trying to separate players that way. And when they do that, it's just, I don't know, it's just going to be hard for a player like Anthony Edwards, I think, to win an MVP.
Would we all agree as three that for Cooper Flagg, his chances won't really improve until, in terms of get realistic, until post AD Kyrie, right? Like, once it's his. Wouldn't that have to be the case? He will have to be the leader before he can be up for it, right? It'll have to be
totally
after those guys. So, I mean, then Jason Tatum's got time to come back
right
from the Achilles before Cooper Flagg is up for. So we got a few years this iteration of Dallas, he can't win it all.
I just think Ant-Man has a better chance even than Tatum, because Tatum, like, we have questions about Tatum being the leader on his team, don't we? I mean, is it him or Jaylen Brown?
Hard questions.
You know?
Statistically, I mean, that's why he's fourth. You know, the points, rebounds, assist, he's always the freaking leader.
No, you're right.
He just ends up coming out. But he's got to recover from the Achilles. Mm-hmm. We don't know if he'll be the, you know, guy wasn't aggressive, you thought, beforehand in terms of going to the battle. How's he going to be afterwards? Donovan Mitchell's got to be in the mix. If they run away with things for whatever reason, not that I believe in that, next year, if we're talking Americans only here.
Mm-hmm.
But Cooper's going to be a minute.
We don't have a ton of options, so Donovan Mitchell is going to be on the list.
The case I would put it for Anthony Edwards, Drew, you probably agree, is, I mean, defensively, and I know there's a defensive player of the year part, but he's the one guy that is doing it on both ends for a lot of the season, right? And then and even in the playoffs at times, you know, that can help you, right? Being a two-way, I mean, we've discussed whether or not he's the best two-way guy in the league. You got to put Giannis right up there as a former defensive player of the year. But Anthony can be that, right? He can carve out his own niche as the best two-way guy, and maybe that gets you to an MVP along with Minnesota being a one or a two seed at some point.
100%, and that helps the analytics, right? That's what,
I was just talking about, right?
Like if you do it defensively, you're 100%. On off stats,
yep.
All that's going to improve. So like being a two-way player really helps.
He does.
Shea was really good defensively. Like let's give him some credit. Shea was very good defensively this season.
I don't give him enough.
Obviously that helps him too.
Yep.
But no, I mean, like the Mitchell stuff, he's just fringe. He's just too far on the fringe, I think, for me to believe it. And you know, it was hard to believe in the Cavs this year. You know, I don't remember where I saw it, but you know, Jaren isn't the only big that's taken heat for playoff performances and toughness. Like, you know, I think there's a lot of people questioning Jared Allen and some of like the Cavs makeup right now this postseason. So
Miles Turner made him look like a statue, to your point. He made Jared Allen look like it was awful. Miles Turner.
I know he wasn't healthy. He wasn't healthy, but still, I mean, it just wasn't like they weren't good enough. I do wonder like if Cleveland would, I don't think that Milwaukee would want to trade Giannis to Cleveland, but if they put like Evan Mobley on the table, could Cleveland get in the mix there? I that's something that's just popped to mind a little bit. I wonder if Cleveland could be a team that wants to get in the running.
Better not. He's your future anchor. Evan Mobley,
mm-hmm.
That dude there.
Yeah.
No, he's different than Jared Allen.
He's
a lot different.
Exactly. He's special. He's a special young talent, as are you, Drew.
Thank you.
Thank you for – you're the Evan Mobley of Memphis. Thank you for
hey, great insider today, brother.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
All right, yep. He is Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian, joins us every single Thursday here on the show. What was so great about the insider?
Dude, it's always packed with information. Did you know they're back in the summer league? I mean, not the Vegas one. The Utah one.
It feels like
an extra four games there, or three games, whatever the heck it is.
Yeah.
So for whether Zach Edey's going to do that, you one-off him and save the guys?
Yeah.
Is Isolo coaching that? Because we figure he's going to be coaching in Vegas.
Well, I'm a little worried that they may not play in Vegas now because, you know, the big guys, I'm saying. Because like they're just going to play in Utah.
No, what they do is just play. Did we not do this last year? And Edey played like one or two.
He got hurt in Utah.
But did we play?
He did come back for summer league in Vegas, and then he got hurt again.
I figure you just play him once in Utah,
right.
And then you want to see him against like the rest
of the league in the summer league. Why not play the whole
Vegas.
Summer league, right?
Well, you don't want to get him hurt as important as he is to the mix. He's a little bit more important than the rest of the
Everybody
guys.
Ends up shutting it down by the end of it anyway, but it's just, you know.
But the other part is Isolo. Just getting these, you know, the ones that are going to be on your team or not, you know, getting his system in and you know, the foundation.
GG Summer League,
burning
right?
it up. All day.
He better be on that team.
If he got a problem with it, he's going to be working on running back.
So GG Jalen Wells for a couple of games. Zach Edey for a couple of games.
Yeah, GG can play his way right out of it.
Who else are you looking forward to on that team?
You said Jalen.
It'd be like Zion pulling.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess.
Yeah,
the guy who's graduated is Pip.
Pip's not playing in it.
We've graduated.
No, he's not.
We don't need
it.
He doesn't have nothing left to prove.
I guess they could put Yuki on the team. I mean, that's not like that.
Yeah.
All right, that's our DEI hire.
That's where I draw.
All right, it's our DEI. Marvin Bagley.
Yeah.
He'd be really good on that team.
Yeah, fly him out there southwest.
Cam Spencer, for sure, right?
Oh, man, you made me think about Cam Payne last night. He had some big shots in a loss.
The fact that the Knicks lost a game where Cam Payne had two threes is kind of nuts.
They felt big when he hit them.
They were.
I thought we were going to come in here and talk about Cam Payne today.
Terry Johnson.
For real.
Not enough.
Get my name out your mouth.
Did you see that the Knicks renamed the streets in New York City?
I didn't know how real that was.
No, it's real. Like, if you go to those streets, there's another sign on the street.
For, like, now until they lose to the Pacers.
I know, but you could go see Precious Achiuwa Place.
He ain't even in the rotation.
He got a street named after him.
And what did he do?
What you mean? Oh, like, why is that? I don't know. Well, he's not better than Mitchell Robinson.
Bro, Pacers are throwing 12 bodies at you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got Brunson and everybody, they're holding their short sweep because they're playing 6-7 dudes. That's it. We got Precious can't get 5-10.
I assume,
15.
Even though he's from New York, I assume he's not having a great time right now.
I thought at one point he was, like, beloved there. They liked him.
I mean, he's from Queens, you know?
Was it an injury? He didn't come back as fast as he needed to? Is it injury now? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because this is not Josh Minot, you understand?
Yeah.
Who I think actually played the other day in garbage time.
He did.
Precious Achiuwa was useful for them at one point. I think the Anunoby and Mikal Bridges just kind of pushed him out the...
I mean, he did play. I mean, he played...
How many minutes?
20 and a half minutes a game in the regular season.
That's what I knew it. Dude, it was this season he was in the rotation and helping,
but he is
even
way,
with those guys.
He is way out of the rotation.
But I guess with Tibbs, you just tighten it up. You put all those minutes on Anunoby and Bridges in the playoffs, and I think that's the explanation, but seems some doghouse too. I don't know.
Yeah, he is way, way, way out of the rotation
like
now.
Like Kuminga level.
Yeah.
Like when you ain't part of this.
Well, they just don't trust him. And, you know, Tibbs goes so damn shallow on those lineups.
Like you said, he played him in the regular season, though.
Yeah.
But he does. It does. In the playoffs, I mean, that has to be part of what it is.
That's right. But it's like, man, you're playing. Like, I mean, it's
respectful. Bro, you could use it. Why can't you use his fouls?
Like, you're telling me that Precious Achiuwa can't be better for you than Campaign? I know they're different positions, but I'm like, if you're willing to trust Campaign out there, you should be willing to trust Precious. Like,
I just think they have to give Brunson blows as much as they put on.
Precious
and he was tired in the game.
There's also Campaign place if you want to go to that street.
Send Precious to the Memphis Grizzlies.
I mean, we could use him.
Use a rebounder.
He's a dog.
Zach Lyman said he wants dogs. Yeah, Cam Spencer on there.
Precious is a dog.
Is the Precious an upgrade from Cam Spencer on doggedness?
Oh, come on, man.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.